surprises to get medical marijuana through the House.
Every time this bill has come before this body, I have rose in opposition to it. Today, I'm prepared to support it.
Mike Tryon is a Republican representative from Crystal Lake. He says he met with people who convinced him that marijuana is the only thing they've found to alleviate their pain.
Why should they have to obtain it illegally? Why should they have to enter into a culture to obtain it that is illegal?
But it's precisely that illegal culture and the threat of it spreading into the mainstream that has other lawmakers worried.
We know there's a lot of potheads out there, folks that don't really have a medical issue.
Jim Sasha is a Republican from Pecatonica. He says he thinks it'd be all too easy for someone to fake their way into a pass to get high.
My concern is that these folks will evolve to the doctor with splitting headaches and severe back pain and all kinds of maladies.
Au contraire, says the bill sponsor, Representative Lou Lang, a Democrat from Skokie.
See, this is a case where, and I don't mean, I'm trying not to insult you, but this is a case.
But you're gonna.
Well, maybe. This is a case where you need to read the bill.
The bill says patients will have to be diagnosed with at least one of 33 medical conditions, including but not limited to cancer, AIDS, Lou Gehrig's disease, Parkinson's, a spinal cord injury, a traumatic brain injury, or lupus. Those interested in getting marijuana will have to provide their medical records to the state for verification. Sasha, however, was not convinced.
I absolutely believe that I could go to my doctor and go through my history of medical conditions, and I could get medical marijuana under your bill. I believe I could.
Do you have any of those medical conditions today?
I believe I do.
Then maybe you need the product, sir.
I'm doing well without it.
Sasha voted no. Nevertheless, the legislation passed, barely, 61 to 57. That's just one vote over the minimum required in the House. Now it goes to the Senate, where Lang says he's optimistic it'll pass there. And even Governor Pat Quinn, who often refuses to reveal where he stands on legislation, says he's open-minded on medical marijuana. Like many others, he says he was moved by a meeting with someone who was in pain.
He was suffering from war wounds and found definite help by medical use of marijuana. And so I was quite impressed by his heartfelt feeling.
Around government, it's often said that all politics is local. But in this case, the politics were personal. I'm Brian Mackey.
You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL. While many universities hope for national attention through their athletic programs, Bradley University is dominating a little-known competitive field, speech teams. Some smaller and mid-sized schools like Bradley are banking on excellence in more niche areas as better and more reliable recruiting tools than winning a bowl game or making the Sweet 16. Jonathan All reports Bradley is going for its 41st national title at the National Forensics Association competition that wraps up today.
Senior Cecil Blutcher is on stage in a small theater in Bradley University's communications building. He's practicing his poetry recitation in front of his fellow speech team members.
But now my face is stuck to lamppost, glued to plate glass windows.
This is typical of the Bradley University speech team. They practice and critique each other often. But this is not your typical speech team in that they dominate competitions. Of the 70 national collegiate speech team competitions ever held, Bradley has won 40 of them, a staggering 57%. That's more titles than UCLA, Kentucky, Duke, and North Carolina have in basketball combined. Ken Young is the coach of the team and was on the squad when he was a student more than 10 years ago. He says the school in Peoria has a secret weapon that keeps the team at the top of the collegiate competition.
Head coaches come and go, upper administration comes and goes, but we have an alumni network that is continuously giving back, not only financially, but supportively. Also through coaching and providing service. And so they pass down the skills and the techniques needed to continue to fight for that national championship year in and year out.
Speech team competitions feature individuals and small groups competing in 11 categories, ranging from prose interpretation and poetry recitation to persuasive speeches and extemporaneous speaking. Jacoby Cochran was part of the Bradley team that won titles in the past 3 years and is the defending individual champion as well. He says Bradley remains dominant because its current members respect the legacy.
It gives you a responsibility to uphold how you do this activity correctly, how you do it honestly, how you do it humbly. You know, we're not just the best speech team because we are national champions. We're the best speech team because we do it with grace. We do it and we show you how much we put into these events, how much we bleed and we cry for these people.
And as college recruiting is becoming increasingly competitive, some smaller schools hope to set themselves apart by excelling in areas such as speech team or other performance-based co-curricular activities. Billy Clow is the dean of the College of Fine Arts and Communications at Western Illinois University in Macomb. He says a long tradition in niche areas can attract more and better students.
It's smarter to recruit students when we can provide them with options for things that they have interest in beyond just their major. And it's also much more likely that they will succeed if we have something for them that interests them beyond the classroom.
Being part of a successful speech team can attract the attention of employers, too. Melina Barona is a recruiter for accounting firm KPMG in Chicago. She says involvement in competitions and performances stands out among resumes filled with a lot of bullet points.
If some of those bullet points indicate activities that tend to mean that the student has built their communication skills, that's definitely attractive to us.
Barona competed for Truman State University speech team in the mid-90s and says Bradley is well-known and respected.
While others look at March Madness, you know, anyone in speech team community really looked at those national tournaments, and we always expected that Bradley would dominate.
Future success in the job market and in continuing the legacy of Bradley University speech team motivates its current members. It also attracts new students to campus. Julia Rabin is a freshman at Bradley. She says speech team was the deciding factor in where she went to college.
The tradition of excellence and the family that this team creates and has and the alumni network we have behind it blew me away. And to be able to find that when you come to college and you like are lost, you have no idea where you're going, you have no idea what you're going to find or the people you're going to find yourself with, that was huge for me.
Speech team as a recruiting tool, gateway to alumni support, and increased attention from employers is what Bradley University is hoping to build on as its speech team continues to lead at the national level. I'm Jonathan All.
You're listening to The Afternoon Magazine on WILL. I'm Chris Berube. So today is the first day of our spring pledge drive. I keep saying spling pledge drive. Not sure why that happens. Our spring pledge drive here at WILL, and we are hoping to reach our drive goal of $120,000. And we've made a bargain with you. The faster we get to $120,000, the faster that the drive is over. As soon as we hit that number, we'll call it off, whether it's on Friday or Thursday or even Wednesday. So if you would like to end our drive and help us reach our goal, give us a call at 217-244-9455. A big thank you to Eve Steger, who is the most recent person to call in and make a very, very generous donation. Thank you very much, Eve, in Urbana. And if you're in Urbana or Champaign, we have a bit of a contest going on to see which city will end up on top. This morning, Champaign was dominating. Now Urbana has taken a bit of a commanding lead. So Champaign, get your act together. Give us a call and make a pledge. If you're a longtime listener to WILL, you know how our finances work. A couple of times each year, we come to you for your financial support. And during the past few years, we've provided major coverage of events that have affected all of our lives, elections, world events, news on the economy. That coverage comes with costs. And you, the listeners, are the most reliable source of funds to help cover those costs and the services that you appreciate. So please give us a call at 217-244-9455 and pledge your support. Your employer may be one of many in the area who will actually match employees' donations to WILL. Some businesses will actually match retirees' and spouses' gifts also. So please contact your personnel office and see if they're up for a matching gift. You can make that donation at willpledge.org. I'm Chris Berube. You're listening to The Afternoon Magazine.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Trophy Time in Champaign. Trophy Time features a variety of items to remember special days with personalized huggies, keychains, cameras, and more. A complete online catalog can be found at trophytime.com. They're more than just trophies.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 22nd of April, 2013. Today is Earth Day, a day first observed in 1970 at the prompting of Senator Gaylord Nelson of Wisconsin. About 20 million people participated in the first Earth Day, April 22, 1970, and soon after came the formation of the Environmental Protection Agency, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Endangered Species Act. It became an international event in 1990, events in 141 countries. In 2000, Earth Day was coordinated on the Internet. According to the Earth Day Network, Earth Day is celebrated, observed in some form by a billion people every year. It's the birthday of the Enlightenment philosopher Immanuel Kant, born in Königsberg, Prussia, in 1724. He was professor of logic and metaphysics at the university there, and never ventured more than 50 miles from his hometown. Immanuel Kant believed that travel was not necessary to solve the problems of philosophy. His most influential work, The Critique of Pure Reason, in 1781, in which he argued against empiricism and rationalism. It's the birthday of the man who once wrote, "Love and scandal are the best sweeteners of tea." Henry Fielding, the novelist, born in Somerset, England, 1707. He started out writing for the stage. He was writing political satires, and there were many people in government who did not take kindly to that. And so, in 1737, Parliament passed the Theatrical Licensing Act, which required plays to be approved by the Lord Chamberlain. And Henry Fielding, knowing that none of his plays were likely to be approved, retired from the stage, became a novelist, and wrote The History of Tom Jones, a Foundling, the story of a lusty, good-hearted young man who falls in love with his neighbor's daughter. It's the birthday of the legendary jazz bassist and composer Charles Mingus, born in Nogales, Arizona, in 1922. And it's the birthday of the poet Louise Glück, born New York City, 1943. Her father, an immigrant from Hungary, helped to invent the X-Acto knife. She won the Pulitzer Prize for her collection The Wild Iris in 1992. Louise Glück, who said she tends to write poems that operate on a vertical axis of transcendence and grief, and who had a word of wisdom for young poets, she said, "It never gets easier to write." Here's a poem for today by Jane Hirschfield, entitled For What Binds Us. There are names for